This is Genoa.
This is Yusuf.
This is In-Flight Entertainment.
The throwback quarantine episodes right before the 4th. Right? Yeah. Saturday's the 4th, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So we aren't going too far back. We're just going to 2010. But we are looking at fun action movies because it is the summertime.
Yeah. And since we can't go outside to watch, well, we shouldn't be outside watching fireworks. We can watch stuff blow up on screen.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we are doing the 2010 movie based off of a TV show from the 80s called The A-Team.
Yeah, I remember when it used to come on Fridays, if I'm not mistaken. When school was done, go home. Yeah, I'll just wait for A-Team to come on. You know, that was my jam. What's A-Team? If something else came on behind it or before it, it was either Miami Vice A-Team or vice versa. One of the two. I know it was like back to back. Anyway, but
I have to say it was probably Miami Vice then A-Team because I feel like my parents let me watch Miami Vice but not A-Team, which is weird when you think about.
Yeah.
Violent AT or Miami Vices compared to AT.
So you could watch violent Miami drug lords, but you can't watch a team of mercenaries that can't shoot a side of a barn.
Maybe something else was on during that time that I wasn't allowed to, that they wanted to watch instead. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Well, you know, they let you watch it, so it's all good. Right. Now, 2010.
The original A-Team gave us Mr. T.
Yes.
Which, so it will always be a pop culture icon because of Mr. T. But the 2010 A-Team stars Liam Neeson, Bradley Cooper, Charlto Copley. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I said his name wrong. Jessica Biel, Quentin Rampage Jackson,
mm-hmm.
and Patrick Wilson.
Yeah.
And a few other people.
Yeah. And what that dude that played Major Dad in the sitcom? Major Dad.
Oh, Gerard McRaney.
Yep, him. AKA Major Dad.
Wasn't he in Simon and Simon also?
Yes. Oh, good call. Good pull.
Yeah, that's what I know him from.
Good
pull. Maybe that was on at the same time as the A-Team. And so I was watching Simon and Simon instead of A-Team.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't have Mr. T, so by default, A-Team wins. Only thing Simon and Simon had was that car. I forgot which car they had, but that was a cool car.
I have to say, I have gone back and watched Simon and Simon episodes, and they still are pretty entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Can't go wrong. So, gentlemen mentioned 2010, 10 years ago. All right. Now, I went to, I did a top 10, like top 10 TV shows of 2010 because I can't believe it's been 10. Oh, my God. All right. So, number 10, this isn't on anymore, but Cougar Town was considered like number 10 at the time. The Good Wife was number 9. Lost was 8. Terriers. I love that show. I don't know if you remember Terriers. It was one season on FX. It was amazing. Party Down. That was pretty hilarious. It was on Stars. Mad Men was number 5. Louis was number 4, Parks and Rec number 3, Community number 2, and of course number 1, Walter White and the crew Breaking Freaking Bad.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So in 2010, I was dating a guy that was about 9 years younger than me, so I was when Cougar Town came out, everyone was like, okay, you should be part of that show. really quite old enough to be a cougar, but sure, whatever.
Sorry, whatever. Hey, you know, role playing is nothing wrong with that. And the song, so this came out June 3rd, 2010, and Eminem was still doing this thing, and his and the number one song was Not Afraid from Eminem. Yeah, 2010, it seemed like it's only like 2 years ago.
Well, and 2010 was an amazing year for indie music. It was a good year to go to things like South by Southwest Music Festival. And
right. Yeah, because you were, you know, cause you, what, were you still in Texas in 2010 or in New York?
No, I was in New York. Oh, yeah. I've been in New York for 12 years at that point.
Gotcha. Okay. But you would go down to Texas for South by Southwest sometime?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then Spartan.
I wasn't doing Spartan at that time. The only thing I did in 2010 was really go to bars and drink.
Of course. I mean, as one should.
Well, I mean, you know, I lived in New York. What else are you going to do?
Yeah.
You just go see live bands. I was in grad school in 2010, so mm-hmm. I was working full time. I was a little busy.
Okay. Right on. Yeah, making that money, making that drinking money.
Yeah.
Cool. So AT. Now this film is directed by Joe Carnahan. Now Joe Carnahan directed one of my like favorite films, which is Smoking Aces. I don't know. You remember Smoking Aces, Joe?
Vaguely. I have to go look at the page to see if I remember it.
Yes.
I recognize the name, and I recognize the poster for it.
Yeah. So yeah, Smoking Aces was the who's who. I call Smoking Aces the Cannonball Run of Hitman movies. Because it had Ryan Reynolds, Ray Liotta, Ben Affleck. It had Andy Garcia. Peter Berg, Alicia Keys, Common. Everyone was in this damn movie. Jeremy Piven. Yeah, it's such a fun movie. I need to rewatch it. It came out 2007. Wow. And I believe off the strength of Smoking Aces, you know, they were like, hey, you know how to do some stylized action? You know, you want to do A-Team? And Joe's like, sure, why not? Cool. And there we have that A-Team. So the A-Team characters. So Hannibal, played by Liam Neeson, he's like, you know, he's the brain.
He's the captain.
Right. And Faze, played by Bradley Cooper, he's the slickster, he's the sly, he's the one you go in to like romance, you know, someone to get their keys.
He's the ladies man.
Huh?
He's the ladies man.
Right, exactly. And B.A. Baracus, Bad Attitude Baracus. That was played by Mr. T, now played by Rampage Jackson, which, by the way, did a really good job. I mean,
he did an awesome job. Yeah. I want to see him in more movies.
Yeah, he was really good. It's funny. It's like, well, no one can ever be Mr. T's BA, but Rampage really made his own BA, you know, character. It was cool. Yeah, so he's the muscle. And was it Murdoch? No, is it Murdoch, right?
Yeah, Murdoch.
Yes. And Murdoch is the pilot slash screws loose up top, mentally not really there, but he's an awesome pilot. So that's kind of like your personalities. Almost like Ninja Turtles, if you will. So you would say Murdoch.
Which came first?
Okay.
A team or the Turtles?
Well, A team. But you can mirror the personalities of the four, the dynamic with Ninja Turtles. Yeah. So, because Hannibal would definitely be Leonardo. Raphael will definitely be B.A. Baracus. Murdoch would be Donatello. And Face would be Michelangelo. Boom. There you go.
Okay. There you go.
You're welcome, people. I just pieced together the Ninja Turtles 18 parallel.
I've actually have never seen any of the Ninja Turtle TV shows or cartoons or movies.
Not even a 1990 Jim Henson one?
No, I didn't know Jim Henson did one.
Yeah, well, I mean, he did the Ninja Turtle creature design. Well, his team, no. Jim Henson's team did it. Yeah, but anyway, no. All right. So yeah, so so what's going on with the A-Team in this particular film?
Right. So the first 15 minutes were introduced to all the characters. We're introduced to Face, who is tied up, and Cartel are trying to kill him because he slept with someone's wife. You have Hannibal that's trying to save Face. You have B.A. that is driving the car that Hannibal waves down in order to go save his friend Face. And then as they save Face and are trying to escape, they run to an insane asylum to find a pilot that is supposedly there. And that's where we're introduced to Murdoch, who's just, he might be faking the crazy, but he's hiding out at the mental institution.
Right.
And so they jump in a helicopter and are flying away from the cartel, who also has a helicopter, who starts shooting at them. And B.A. almost falls out of the airplane. And this is where he develops his fear of flying. And so that is sort of a theme through the rest of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And it definitely kept the dynamics in the show, because in the show, you know, B.A. don't like flying, and they have to give him some kind of sedative or tranquilize him to throw him on the plane. So they definitely kept the show dynamics with the four, you know, intact for the movie.
Right. For those of people that don't know about the A-Team, it is about a group. So the movie is about a group of Iraq war veterans look to clear the name clear their name with the U.S. military, who suspects the four men of committing a crime for which they were framed. The TV show was that they were all dishonorably discharged.
Yeah.
And they are hired by people to solve crimes while they continue to run from the U.S. government that wants to lock them up.
Exactly. Yep. So they're kind of like the Robin Hoods. Like, you hire them to set right the wrongs, and yeah. And they would do it. And it's weird because their whole thing is like, you know, if you can find them. I'm like, but everyone can find them. Like, every episode, there's someone knocking on their door. Hey, are you the A-Team? I need help. So they're not very, like, elusive, because every episode someone finds them.
Right. There was also the TV show in the 80s that was sort of similar, but it wasn't a full team. It was the Equalizer.
Yeah.
Where if you could find the Equalizer, he would solve your problem for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my mother loved Equalizer.
It was a fantastic show. Denzel Washington did two movies called that were taken from that TV show, and he did an amazing job. Oh, those movies are fun.
Yeah, yeah, just good bloody mayhem. I forget I'll bring it up, but because the Equalizer, the age Equalizer, was the white British. He was like MI6 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And I think Denzel was like CIA. I forget what he was, man. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Some sort of secret agency.
Yeah. That can kill people the drop of a dime. But yeah. So, okay. So we have the team together of the A team, right? So they're at this, so they're in Iraq. Like a rag base, like US, like kind of rag base. And this particular movie takes place right when, I guess, the U.S. is like about to bounce out of Iraq and all that stuff. And Hannibal's colonel tells him that they're like plates that they can make counterfeit American dollars.
They have to go steal those away from the insurgents, right, in order to protect the U.S. economy so that they don't go and flood it with fake money.
Right. So, of course, the A-team is being A-team and Hannibal is getting the plan together. So they managed to get it, right?
Kind of like Mission Impossible, and that they do these crazy ass missions with a whole lot less like fighting and running compared to Tom Cruise's Mission Impossibles.
Right. Okay. So think of A-team as Mission Impossible with Hobbs and Shaw. Cause like the action is like ridiculous, like a Hobbs and Shaw over the top. But they're right.
It's car and machine action. It's not fighting and punching action.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on, A-team like had to they flew a tank. Yeah. So yeah.
I mean, the movie's worth watching just for the whole flying the tank scene.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica Biel plays Face's ex-girlfriend.
Slash, she's in FBI. She's in some service.
She's a military army.
Right. So think of her as a Tommy Lee Jones character. You know, she's like sent to hunt down the A-team because they've been set up, you know.
Right. So when they steal the plates and take them back to the base to give to General Morrison, played by Simon from Simon and Simon, or Designing Women's Husband. I'm just going to throw a bunch of random shit out there. Nice. See if you guys can figure it out.
Trivia.
When they bring it back to General Morrison, the plates explode and General Morrison dies. And so the A-team is basically convicted of stealing the plates and killing the general. And they're like, we didn't do it. We promised. We were told to do it by the general. And they're like, there's no record. So all of you guys are going to jail. And Murdoch is going back to the insane asylum. Mm-hmm. And then they are approached by the CIA to find the plates because apparently they didn't blow up.
Mm-hmm. And Patrick Wilson is spearheading this operation, this covert operation.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they all break out of jail, regroup, and find out where the plates are going to be. And now there's a big giant, another. Well, okay. So when they're taking Murdoch out of the insane asylum, this is maybe one of my favorite scenes in the movie, is that like all the mentally ill people are sitting in the TV room and the movie room with their 3D glasses on and so excited that the movie is about to start. And right when the car is like driving up to 3D, the truck breaks through the wall.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. And then like everyone, like it's like a pregnant pause, and then everybody just started like erupting and like just, this movie is so real.
Okay, so they break Murdoch out of the crazy house. They hijack an airplane. The airplane shot down, and instead of crashing, they fly a tank into a lake. And we can't really describe that on a podcast.
You just have to watch it. Yeah, it's like The Matrix. No one could tell you what it is. You have to see it for yourself.
Exactly. And so they end up in Berlin, which is where they were told they were going to get the plates. And so they end up stealing the plates. But in the process, they find out that this guy Pike is also after them to kill them once they get the plates. And they end up kidnapping the head mastermind of all of this and find out who the man is behind the mask. And it is
It's the card. It's Colonel Simon. It was such a Scooby-Doo moment. Like, I laughed so hard at that. I'm like, oh yeah. I was waiting to say I would have got away with it if it wasn't for you meddling A-Team. Yeah.
The A-Team is absolutely the Scooby-Doo crew.
Oh,
they
totally.
Have a band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why did I ever get that?
Yeah, they're like they're Scooby, they're the Scooby-Doo gang with guns. Right.
Yes. They just don't have a dog. That's the only thing they're missing.
Yeah, no dog, no. Unfortunately.
Yeah, because Shaggy is Murdoch.
Yes, Shaggy is Murdoch. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Face is Velma. No. No, Hannibal is Velma. Yeah, because she's just the smart one, and Hannibal's Hannibal's Velma. Yeah, see, we just colliding all of these properties again. Okay, if it's a four person dynamic, they all fit. You can interchange them. That's right.
Right. Basically, in the 80s, there were all these shows that were ripping off each other. So that's what we have.
So much fun it was watching them. And all was 80s glory.
Right. Yeah. I should say they were inspired by each other. They weren't ripping off each other.
Yeah, they were. And I'm sure the same showrunner or producer pretty much probably made them all. Yeah, but it's neither here nor there.
Right.
All right. So, also, in another twist, Patrick Wilson, you know, was part of the betrayal also.
Right. So he might be working for the CIA, but he's also working to, I guess, continue the war so they can continue to get money to do their shady ass shit. I can never figure out what it was.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, while all this is happening, Jessica Biel's character is still chasing after them and flirting with Face whenever they interact with each other.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just the sexual tension.
Right. So this movie came out, what, a year or a couple years before or after Blade Trinity?
I'm going to say after. This came out after. This came out after Blade Trinity. Yes. Blade Trinity.
Jessica Biel was in, well, Blade Trinity came out in 2004. Wait, yes, 2000.
Right, this came out after Blade Trinity, right?
Right, so she was still her badass self.
Yeah, no, she was still rocking it. Yeah. Yeah, what happened? She's in like a show, right? Like some kind of miniseries or something like that?
Limetown?
Okay.
I don't know. Sure. A few years ago, she was in The Center, which made a lot of noise.
Yeah, The Center. Yes. Yeah, I didn't see that, but I heard it was pretty good. I need to check it out.
I watched most of it. It was good. When I figured out what was going on, I stopped watching. But the second and third seasons of The Center have been fantastic.
Okay, because there are different stories, right, with each season.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on. Face, right? Face finds out that, wait a minute, hold on. How did they get? Okay. It's a very convoluted plot, people. So,
right. So when they finally reveal General Morrison, or Captain Simon, as we've been calling him, is a traitor, and they realize Lynch is part of the group that is sort of planning all of this, they figure out that they need to do a switcheroo with Lynch, who's the CIA dude, in order to take them all down so that they can be found innocent and get their lives back, so they're no longer on the run. So they call up Jessica Biel's character, Carissa, tell her the plan, and then call, while they're on that call with her, they know that Lynch is eavesdropping.
Yep.
And they're like, we will make a trade for the plates and for tell you and give you the mastermind of all of this if you meet us at the California shipping port. Not sure how they got from Germany to California. Sure, that's in the movie, but I may have walked out of the room to get a drink.
The flying tank.
Right. And so now the final epic scene of find the nut under the cup happens.
Right. Which takes takes place in the harbor.
Okay. Yeah, it's a shell game, but with giant tanker crate things.
Yes. Yeah. And like I said, this is where the Hobbs. The Hobbs and Shaw over the top crazy action. That's why I say like this reminds me of like, you know, Scooby Doo meets Hobbs and Shaw. Yeah, it is. All right. So we have like all this stuff blowing up. And also it's a little bit of Team America World Police, because every time they like around something or in a situation, a lot of stuff is just blown the hell up. Like, it's never like a simple, sneaky, like Tom Cruise Mission Impossible. You know, you kind of you drop through like the wires, the fence stuff, you know, just to bypass this, just to kind of, you know, this is just straight blow stuff up. Every mission is with destruction. It reminded me of Team America. I was like, oh my God, this is so Team America World Police, except they're A-Team. So they expose Patrick Wilson and his intentions, and Jessica Biel, you know, get him, lock him up, you know, she got her man. And they still arrest the A-Team, right?
All of their charges for killing the general were removed, but because they broke out of jail, they had to go to jail for breaking out of jail. So they were taken away in handcuffs again. And like the last 5 seconds of the movie sort of sets it up for a sequel.
Right.
And so you think that there's going to be a sequel, but because the movie cost, I think, $100 million to shoot, but it only made $160 million globally. Wow. So when you subtract the marketing budget, which was probably another $60 million, they didn't make any money on the movie, so they decided not to make a second one.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess they could, but it definitely would have been a very smaller film. But you know, it is what it is on that. But what? Okay. Well, what I thought, yeah, like with the A-Team movie, I was thinking they were gonna go into how the dynamic is set up in the show. It's kind of like we follow like this person or this character finding the A-Team and be like, hey, you know, and we kind of seeing the dynamic and adventure through the person that they hire or something like that, you know, like maybe he or she is with them throughout all this craziness, you know. Right. Yeah. And
so, I'm sorry. Charlie's Angels, when we watched the newest one of that.
Yeah. So some similar to that. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then we're proud through certain sequences and things like that. Maybe there's a flashback here or there about how these four kind of got together. I kind of thought the movie was going to be more like that instead of like them having this big grandiose adventure. And then the sequel will be like the show.
Right. Well, I think when they originally signed up all of the actors, all of the actors agreed to two movies. And so they all thought that they were going to be doing two movies. So I'm sure the writers set it up that first we'll introduce the characters for people that didn't watch the show, and then we'll do a movie similar to the show.
Yeah. See, yeah, they can't be doing that. Oh, well, like what would have been cool if, you know, say it's a woman that found the A-team, things like that, and the A-team finds out that what she's into, whoever's trying to kill her, is in so many ways, or in a roundabout way, or in a direct way, is associated with someone in their past from like their, you know, platoon, from their ranger company and so like that, that can bring the past to them that they have to confront on top of, you know, saving this woman or solving it. Like, whatever. I mean, I'm just rewriting the movie, but that would have been like, to me, a little more like investing. But yeah. But anyway, but I mean, it was good. It was a good blow-ish up, you know, it was a good blow-up movie. Like you said, like, yeah, you have construction around you. You need to hear explosions. There you go. There's your explosion.
Yeah. So if you want to watch the movie, you can, I think you can rent it on iTunes or Amazon or something. On my Apple TV, I just typed in A-team and it popped up. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So how are you rating it? Ass on the sofa. You enjoyed it. Putting your shoes on. It was okay. Leaving the house without a mask.
All right.
I'd rather die.
Right. Rewatching it, I really appreciated the sheer craziness of the action sequences. And I forgot how crazy that tank sequence was. And, you know, in the crazy gunfight situations, you know, how BA bickers at, you know, Murdoch, and, you know, just like the show, it keeps a lot of stuff up from the show. People who watch the show, they definitely honor, you know, the banter and, you know, the camaraderie of the team.
Had great chemistry together.
Yeah, they all were great. All four of them did the damn thing. All of them.
Right. And Jessica Biel delivered.
Yeah, Jessica Biel delivered. Patrick Wilson was hilarious. He was surprisingly hilarious watching them again. But I would say, you know, falling on the script. Like I said, the script tried to be more complicated than it should have. I think, you know, if they would have kind of just kept it simple,
they could have started halfway through the movie versus all the intro of all of the characters.
Yeah. And plus, like, you know, the double cross, all that stuff. And while we've been talking through the movie, we're kind of like, all right, so Patrick, what was he trying to do again for that? It was like one too many subplots that I was like, was that even necessary? But I got to put the shoes on. I liked a lot of it. I mean, it's an enjoyable film, but I mean, for the first outing, it could have been tighter. Like, story could have been tighter, and yeah, it could have been a little more streamlined. But I mean, but I'll watch it again, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I give it Ass on the Sofa. It's a fun escapist type movie. Is it a rated R movie? Am I recommending another rated R movie?
No, this is total PG-13.
Oh, good. Okay. It's a movie everyone in the family can watch.
No blood, no guts. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't remember any profanity, but as we know, I'm really bad about hearing those things.
Yeah. Cool. Right, there you have it. The A-team.
Yes. And for those of you interested, Smoking Aces is actually on Stars right now, so you can go watch it on Stars.
Yes, definitely watch Smoking Aces. You will love the crazy calamity. Oh, sidebar. What's his name? Chris, Captain Kirk, Chris. Chris, it's not Evans, it's a.
I don't know who you're talking about.
You know, the Captain Kirk, Chris.
Huh?
That plays Captain Kirk in the new Star Trek. Chris. It's not Hemsworth. It's not Pratt. It's not. Pine. Correct. Right. So, all right. So, sidebar. Chris Pine is in Smoking Aces, and he plays this skinhead assassin. He's hilarious. Yeah. So, yeah. It was. It's a good one. It's a fun one. It's like if you like A-Team, like Smoking Aces will definitely, you know, wet your whistle. Like.
Well, I feel like when the first time I saw Smoking Aces, it felt like it was trying to be a Guy Ritchie movie with a more American violent aesthetic to it.
I can see that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think Smoking Aces was just more just like, this is what it is. I'm not, there's no clever, witty, you know, got Richie character dialogue. Like, we just give you some crazy ass characters, violence. That's it. And that's what I love about folks Smoking Aces.
Snatch just kind of that.
I mean, but it did have some cool one line. Snatch has some good one liners. And then Brad Pitt, I mean, if you can understand what he was saying some pretty like weird stuff.
I mean, as you know, I watch everything with subtitles on. So
okay, there you go. Yeah. So yeah. So there you have it. Smoking Aces. Yeah. You know, like I said, I just had a qualm with the story, but you know, it's worth watching. If you haven't seen it, give it a watch. You have fun.
So are we
going to
tell them to stay safe?
Yeah. Well, so Saturday, everyone, if you have to meet up, if you have to see people, please have your mask on, you know, be distanced, because the spike is happening. It's real. And we need to control it. We need to neutralize it. And we need to do our parts to keep this stuff from spiking any more than it is now. Because they closed the bar. Is it effective? They closed the bars back up, right?
Yeah, they closed all the bars here in Los Angeles. I think Texas, Oklahoma, and California and Florida are now have some crazy, crazy numbers going on. So yeah, I mean, if you're gonna go out, try to keep the numbers small, wear a mask, and don't go to a bar if you can wait until it's safer.
Yeah.
Take care of yourself.
Exactly. That's all we ask, people. That's all we ask. Yeah. Cool. Well, have a good and safe Saturday, everyone. And until next week, we wish you all safe physical distancing and
wear your fucking mask.
Peace.